الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. We continue the issue of the misconceptions of the deviant Quranites, and we come to their fourth misconception. Their fourth misconception. This is summarized in their saying that the Sunnah was not taken as a legal reference in Islam by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by the companions as well, and that's why they were prevented from writing, from documenting the Sunnah. This is their misconception. And their Berwiz, their infamous Quranite, he said that if the Sunnah was part of Islam, then the Prophet ﷺ would have put for it a methodology like that for the Quran, from documentation, preservation, memorization, etc. The refutation of this doubt, the refutation of this misconception. The refutation. This is a baseless foundation based upon mere baseless denial of facts. Would these people really give themselves the time to examine that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was so keen to teach his companions and make them understand the religion by tongue and by action? Add to that the fact that his practical life was in itself a teaching, a teaching example, directing his companions in all that they asked about, admonishing during the Fridays, during the ceremonies, the festivals, the emergencies, occasions. Even his family life is another document relating the legislations, not to mention even his household interactions. If the Sunnah to the Prophet was not something legal and part of Deen, he wouldn't have given it this kind of attention and wouldn't have sought to spread it by all means possible. Take for example what Al-Bukhari related concerning the delegation of Abd al-Qais after the Prophet ﷺ welcomed them. He taught them matters of Islam, and then you know what he told them? He said the following to them: احفظوهُ وأخبروهُ من وراءكم. Preserve it and relate it to those whom you encounter from your people. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. If his life and his teachings and his sayings were not a legal sunnah, he wouldn't have commanded them to preserve and to propagate. And we wouldn't have heard something like صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي, pray as you have seen me praying. Why would he sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, pray as you had seen me praying? If the prayer in the way he detailed and he performed is not legal to be taken from him. And why would he then also say, لِتَأْخُذُوا مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي لَعَلِّي لَا أَحُجُّ بَعْدَ حَجَّتِي هَذِهِ. Take from me your rituals for the pilgrimage, because I don't know, maybe I wouldn't perform a hajj after this hajj, I wouldn't perform another pilgrimage after this one. Why would he say this? Why would he detail how to perform hajj if this was not part of the legal sunnah? Why, when he, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the farewell pilgrimage, would stand in front of thousands of the companions and tell them, ليبلغ الشاهد الغائب, let the one who is witnessing my sermon, my speech, inform the one who is absent. Why would he do that? And he was teaching them and admonishing them concerning matters of life and interactions and matters of worship and how to deal with women as well in that farewell pilgrimage. He said, take good care of women. Why would he do that if this was not a legal way? Why would, on the other hand, the companions adhere to his way and ride and mount the camels and travel distances in order to check for one saying of him? Why would they sit and go over what they learned in order to preserve it in memory? Listen to what Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, listen what he said. كنا نكون عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنسمع منه الحديث. We used to sit with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and take the hadith from him. فإذا قمنا, and when we leave, فإذا قمنا نتذاكره فيما بيننا حتى نحفظ. And we used, when we leave, to نتذاكره, study it between us, so that we keep it to memory, preserve it. This is Anas, this is a companion closely attached to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Umar and his neighbor, they used to take turns to come and sit with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to take knowledge from. And Aisha, the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, she used to review with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that which he teaches her from the sunnah which she needed to know. And this is Abu Huraira, the companion. He used to say, I used to partition the night into three parts. فثلث أنام, one third for me to sleep, for sleep. وثلث أقوم, and one third to stand up in prayers. وثلث أتذكر أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the latter third is to review the narrations from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So if the sunnah was, were it rather something not from the deen, why would these companions be so keen about reviewing, studying, memorizing, learning? Why would they take so much difficulty traveling in order to find one single hadith? Why did they act upon that which they learned from it? Why it became part of their daily life? All of this care is a clear-cut proof that the Sunnah is connected to the Deen and that it is part of it. And how could it be otherwise when we know that the Prophet ﷺ said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء المهديين الراشدين تمسكوا بها. Hold to my Sunnah and the Sunnah of those rightly guided caliphs after me. Hold to it by your moral teeth. And how could it not be a legal part of this deen? When we know that without it, this ummah would not be able to comply with many of the rulings in the Quran. Suffice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sunnah the way that leads to him, though the way for those who seek his forgiveness and his paradise. Listen to what he said in 33:21. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have a good example to follow. For him, look for him who hopes in the meeting with Allah and the last day and remembers Allah much. Now, as to these people's claim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade writing his sayings when he said, لا تكتبوا عني, don't write from me. This is a command, a true in the beginning of Islam, where the Quran was revealed fresh, and because of extreme care that people may confuse his saying, the Prophet ﷺ, with the Quran, that's why he forbade in the beginning to write his sayings. Then, when that was secured, he permitted writing that, where he commanded Abisha to write. So in the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ was building the companions on the practical sunnah, and this is by itself is a strong proof, more even safe than what is to be documented if it is not to be practiced. And it should be mentioned here, and this is very important, that the forbiddance which the Prophet ﷺ made was concerning writing the hadith and recording it officially like the Quran. As far as the writer would write it for himself, this is affirmed to have taken place. And there were from the companions those who used to record everything that the Prophet ﷺ would say. And in fact, it came from the way of Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with both, that he said, كنت أكتب كل شيء أسمعه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I used to write everything I heard from the Prophet ﷺ, which I wanted to memorize. So Quraysh prevented me, and they said, you write everything that you hear and while the messenger speaks in while pleased and while angry, so I withheld from writing. Then I mentioned this to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he pointed, the Prophet ﷺ pointed with his finger to his mouth, to the Prophet's mouth, to himself's mouth, and he said, "Uktub, write down, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one, Allah, in whose hand is my soul, مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ, nothing comes out of it, meaning his mouth, except the truth." And it is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that some of the companions complained of their lack of memorization of what they heard from him. So they said to him, to the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّا نَسْمَعُ مِنْكَ أَحَادِيثَ لَا نَحْفَظُهَا, we are hearing some hadith from you which we don't keep to memory, we can't keep to memory. أَفَلَا نَكْتُبُهَا, shouldn't we write them down? قَالَ بَلَا فَكْتُبُهَا, he said, rather write it down. And this is the latter, it came after the initial forbiddance in the very beginning when the Quran was revealed fresh, so that there can be no confusion with that. This is in short the refutation of this misconception, and inshallah tomorrow we'll go to the fifth misconception. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve them, to preserve us on the correct path, and to save us from all of these deviations. وجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم.